Today's episode is all about women. We're going to tackle some of the following questions. What does it mean to be a woman? What challenges do women face? And what does Scripture say about who we are as women in Christ? I think it's awesome to just take the time to acknowledge that Jesus was a champion for women and he values the voice of women. And I think women just need to hear that they're an important part of the Great Commission to go and make disciples. So I want us today to just celebrate our identity in Christ and who we are as women. So let's do this. I invite you to join me today as we celebrate our identity, who we are in Christ, and we link arms as women to make the name of Jesus great in all the world. Today, I thought it would be fun just to talk all things women. So we're going to go through a few questions, and I'm just going to share some thoughts on what I think it means to be a woman in our culture and what it means biblically and affirmations and encouragement that we can take away just from the fact that God created us to be women. First, let's talk about what does it mean to be a woman? I think simply put, if you look at a definition, it's adult female. So there is a biologic component. God made us male and female. And so creation and anatomy do define who we are as a woman. I think just the creative way that the Lord made us, we are life carriers. We are life growers and givers. Women are strong. You think back to the fall we got inflicted with pain during childbirth. All of those fun things contribute to the fact that we're strong by nature. We are associated with having beauty and intuition. Women are typically nurturers. They are compassionate. We're very good at multitasking typically. We're balancers of a lot of things. We juggle a lot of plates often. We're helpers and helpmates. We're understanding. And I think it's also important to note that this isn't like some girly, feminine, pink bows, ribbons, heels kind of talk. I think we're all created uniquely and we can be uniquely different, but there are certain things within our makeup that typically encompass what it is to be a woman. Our own gifts and abilities are present. We portray it differently because we're all created uniquely. I had this talk not too long ago with some college girls, and we were talking about when did you actually feel like a woman? And kind of makes us have a throwback to the old Shania Twain song, "Man, I Feel Like a Woman." But many people say, when I turned 18. Some people think, when they left and they went to college, they felt like they were entering their womanhood. Some might say their late 20s or early 30s when they felt like they had their life together a little bit more. Others said when they felt confident in who God had created them to be. Some said benchmarks like getting married and having children helped them kind of progress in that feeling of embracing womanhood. I think as I grow up and I'm ever growing, I look back and look at different maturity levels that I had at all these different benchmarks and think, am I ever going to grow up and be a woman? So I think it's just a moving target. Many people define that differently. And I think also there's a defining moment when we experience this struggle and the push of being a woman in different circles based on our gender, that we begin to recognize our womanhood and what we're up against in those struggles. And so I wanted to just talk a minute about bringing to light the challenges that women face. We're no stranger to it. And so some challenges that we face are hot topics with feminism and women's rights in our culture. But I definitely believe there's a balanced approach that we can take in tackling this issue while being truthful about it, but also not living from a place of victimhood and being confident in our identity and how we were made in the image of God. So what are some of those challenges? I think there is definitely, not I think, I know there's a lack of women in positions of power. Oftentimes there are not enough women at the table. This is often debated in church circles. You have egalitarian views and complementarian views. And all of these things that divide us even within the church. I think that culturally it is becoming more acceptable for women to be at the table, but I think the reality of that still hasn't translated and caught up quite to where there's equal representation at the table. I think for me personally, I went from a career in nursing for 12 years where I was surrounded by women. Everyone I worked with was a woman pretty much because I did labor and delivery. You don't find a whole lot of men other than physicians in that area of nursing practice. And now that my job is in a ministry role, and it is to women, I'm still surrounded by a lot of women, but in leadership circles, I'm often one of the only or one of the few women at the table. And this is not a negative connotation. I think I'm gratefully part of a church that is egalitarian and does support women. But I think our culture hasn't quite caught up with balancing that of there being equal representation at the table. But we all bring the characteristics as women. We bring those characteristics we discussed earlier. We know we bring those to the table. We have a lot to contribute in leadership circles, and organizations do miss out on the gifts that women bring to the table, no matter what organization you're a part of, because we have those gifts to contribute. There's also issues of equality and equal opportunity. You know, research supports that companies that have equal representation of male and female are more successful. And so, yes, we do want to be at the table, but it's also how the Lord created us. He created us to work together. There's also struggles of navigating our work and life balance. Many years ago, women mostly stayed at home, and now most of the time you find a lot more families that have two full-time working parents, and then women try and figure out how to come home and provide dinner and domestic duties. And you do see more sharing of these duties now in the home, but there is a lot of, I think as nurturers, women have to figure out how to work this balance of the time that they contribute to their work, but also the time they contribute to nurturing and growing their family and their home. And so navigating that balance can be difficult. There's also things that we face, such as sexism, gender bias, expectations that we put on ourselves. We're bad about that as women, and then these can cause identity struggles. The statistics for women who struggle with anxiety and depression and mental health, they're far greater than men in most categories. And I think, you know, it's important to note that in the culture that we live in, with the progression of social media and things of that nature, we are plagued with competition and comparison in ways that we have never experienced in our history before. And these things contribute to lack of community. They contribute to loneliness, loss of confidence. We then lead to comparison. Our society just constantly creates this false competition and this jealousy between women that's hard to fight against. And I think finally, isolation. You know, I think it was an issue pre-COVID, and I think COVID brought this to light. But we do often live in places where we can be in a room full of people yet still feel alone and not known. So there are obvious struggles that we do face, but I don't want to spend our whole time talking about the hard stuff and the depressing stuff, because we aren't without hope. So in this last little part of today's talk, I want to talk about that hope. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus. So who are we in Christ? I think first we have to remind ourselves that we were created in his image. Our gender isn't an accident. God defended women. He valued women. He gave them a place. Jesus was a champion for women in a culture where women weren't really greatly valued or respected, and they often didn't have a place. I love the story of the Samaritan woman. You know, the Jews would have totally not even gone to that part of town or to that town, but Jesus made it a point to go there because he wanted to bring freedom to that woman. He spoke to women, he included them, and he freed them. You know, many women face the same struggles throughout the Bible that we face today, but what an example Jesus was and how he treated women. Mary Magdalene is another one that I like to look to. She was with Jesus throughout his entire ministry, his death, his burial, and she was there at the first to the tomb when she found it empty. He visited her first and delivered the news that he wasn't in the tomb any longer. And then he tasked her with telling the disciples this good news. So really, she was the first messenger of the gospel. He entrusted a woman with that message, and this affirms us. So we can't define ourselves by the labels we or others put on ourselves. We're made in his image. We haven't been called to run races that he's called others to run. We get to keep our eyes on Jesus, and we can't strive for the path that others are on. The race that he's called them to is uniquely theirs. I think we help ourselves when we elevate others, when we celebrate the success of others, and realize that we don't have to compare ourselves to them. So in this time, I want to affirm that you have great value, that you are uniquely who God made you to be, created in his image. You are to be celebrated. You know, the struggles that we face don't really, or they shouldn't push us into victimhood, but instead they're things that we recognize and then we turn to find confidence and strength in Christ so that we can rise above those, not out of bitterness, but out of strength and out of confidence. We were born women in this time, in this age, for such a time as this. And the purpose and the calling on your life is great. We celebrate your womanhood. I still stand by the fact that it might be a little bit tougher to be a woman, but I'm confident that we're made for it. Our theme, as we've discussed previously, is rise and build. And I see women being an integral part of building the kingdom of God in the last days. And so this is why I've dedicated my life to women, 12 years as a labor and delivery nurse, many years of local church ministry to women, and now continuing to serve and disciple women. I believe in them. I believe in the gift they are to the world. I champion you. I cheer you on. I see you. I value you. You're not alone. And I truly do believe that we're better together. I'd like to spend just a couple minutes speaking some truth over you. If you're in a place right now where you can close your eyes and take this in, do so. If not, just allow these words to encourage your heart today. You are strong. Proverbs 31:25. She is clothed with strength and dignity. You are wise. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Proverbs 31:26. You are safe. Under his wings, you will find refuge. Psalm 9:1. You don't have to worry. Don't worry about a thing. Instead, pray about everything. Philippians 4:6-8. You are loved. Mightier than the waves of the sea is his love for you. Psalm 93:4. You have purpose. Perhaps this is the moment for which you've been created. Esther 4:14. You're complete, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. Colossians 2:10. You have someone who fights for you. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. Exodus 14:14. You aren't left out. So you are no longer strangers and outsiders. You are citizens together with God's people. You're members of God's family. Ephesians 2:19. So let's do this. Let's celebrate our identity in Christ and link arms as women to make the name of Jesus great in the world. I would like to add that an influential book, I think as believers, as women who are believers, that helps us in establishing who we are as a woman and who we are as a woman in Christ. A great book for you is Half the Church. It's a book by Carolyn Custis James. And so that's one that you could check out if you want to study further. I celebrate who you are today. I'm thankful for you. Let's go do this.
Gather, Women Better Together is a resource from IPHC Women. We hope that this podcast is a place of encouragement and inspiration, no matter what season of life you are in. We love to hear from you, so leave us a comment or a review. Thanks for listening.